Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
We are talking about a subject that I have entitled The Principles of Tithing. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying the message? Well, I hope you are enjoying. It is not an easy message to preach. Because every time you talk about tithes and every time you talk about offerings, people automatically... By the way, the reason I'm standing here today is because of the roof. Okay? Just understand, it's been raining. Amen. Whenever you start talking about offerings and tithes, people automatically assume that you want their money. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is that it is not your money that we are after, but it is biblical principles. It is the word of God. Are you listening to me? And like I explained some time ago, that there are different ways of doing things. I like what a certain man of God said. He said, if you come to church because you want to become wealthy, he said that you've made a mistake. You don't need to come to church to be wealthy. Some of the richest people in the world, they don't even know church, even how it looks like. And they are the richest, some of the richest, richest. Is Bill Gates even a Christian? Do you know? Who are some of these other rich people? Mutipe, is he a Christian? Is he born again? Do you know? You don't even know. So you don't need to come to church to become rich. You can be rich in many different ways. Do you understand? But some of us, we want to do it God's way. We want to be blessed in a manner that brings glory to God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because Jesus said something very interesting. He said, take heed. In other words, be careful. Because life doesn't consist on what you have. Life is not about possessions. So sometimes you can be extremely wealthy, but in God's eyes, you are poor. And the Bible showed us the story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man was very rich, but he was poor towards God. How do we know he was poor towards God? The Bible says he died and went to hell. Lazarus was a poor man that the Bible says that his food was the leftovers of the rich man's table. And the Bible says, moreover, in other words, if you thought that that's all was his problem, it's not. Moreover, the dogs would come and lick his wounds. He was a very sickly person that even dogs would come and lick his wounds. Can you imagine? But the Bible says, when he died, angels came and transported him to Abraham's bosom. Hallelujah. He was poor on this earth, but he had a relationship with God, and it showed in his last day on the earth and when he was going to eternity. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage us to do things God's ways. Are you listening to me, somebody? Today I want to preach a subject that I have entitled The Rewards of Iniquity. The Rewards of Iniquity. Hallelujah. The rewards of iniquity. Amen. Now, since I've been talking about tithes and offerings, one thing that we have to be aware of, for as much as God wants your tithes, for as much as God wants your offerings, God doesn't just accept anything that we give him. Are you listening to me? The fact that you have given doesn't mean that it is necessarily acceptable to God. You may give and God may reject. And sometimes I think that's why many people get discouraged with giving. Because also sometimes we take church as lotto. I gave an offering last week, so I need to see tatama chance, tatama millions. I want to see God moving in my life. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
And sometimes the offering that you give does not work for you. Because God doesn't just accept anything.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Let's look at a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 4, from verse 1 to 5. Quickly, I plan to preach for a very short time. Genesis chapter 4, from verse 1 to 5. Genesis, the fourth chapter, from the first verse. Are we there? The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." Hallelujah. So you can see here, two brothers even, coming from the same family, coming from the same parents, they are coming to present offerings unto God. One came with fruits and vegetables, and the other one went and killed one of his lambs and came to offer the fat of the lambs. And the Bible said that God received Abel's offering and God rejected Cain's offering. To the point that Cain became angry that God had to come and ask him, "Why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you angry?" But God was already showing that you can't just bring anything to me. Now, in the message I preached, "Why thy countenance is fallen," I explained why God rejected Cain's offering and why God accepted Abel's offering. Cain was giving an offering under the inspiration of the flesh. Abel was bringing an offering under the inspiration of the spirit. What led Abel to choose a lamb? Why didn't he choose a goat? Why did he choose a lamb? You can already see that the Holy Ghost was inspiring him in what he should give to God. And so God will always accept offerings that you were in the spirit when Hallelujah. While I'm still trying to save for the roof, everything else, you know, it also wants money. But we will get there. Hallelujah. What was I saying? I can't hear you. By the Spirit. Are you listening to me? That was the first time we see God rejecting an offering. Come with me to Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6. Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6. Are we there?
Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, just before Matthew. Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6. If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for me. All right. The Bible says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my offering? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Now, this scripture must be very scary. An offering can be evil. Hello? Amen. You can be giving an offering. Isn't it a good thing? But as you give, God says you are giving evil. Amen. Let's continue. God says, offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person? Said the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This had been your means. Will he regard your persons? Said the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. You see, again, he's rejecting offerings. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. So there's something called a pure offering in God's eyes. There's an evil offering, there's a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, said the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye also behold, what a weariness is it. Let me read that again. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. In other words, the people felt that giving tithes and offering has become a burden. Remember some time ago I told you that God loves a cheerful giver. There are some people who give feeling that God is oppressing them or the church is oppressing them. Yet they are giving, but in the heart, they feel oppressed. They feel like God is making them do something very difficult. Like God doesn't understand. And they start hating giving offerings and tithes. Are we together? It continues and says, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? Said the Lord. But cursed be the deceiver, which had in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So at this time when God was saying this, a lot of people, when it was time to offer unto God, they would look for the sickest animal to come and offer. You know, I know my message is not an amen message, but just encourage me to. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if they had
100 sheep, 20 goats, 50 cows. You know, if you are giving to someone that you love, you will choose the best. True or not true? But what had begun to happen here, they would look for the sick ones, the ones that you can see they are almost about to die. And those are the ones that they will bring to God. As someone is bringing a goat to be offered, the goat is coughing. You're expecting, man, man. He's coughing. And you're coming to give it to your God. He had to even say that I am a great king. It's like, how are you giving this to a great king? You have to remind them, I am a great king. So as a result, he was rejecting their offerings. Am I still in church?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4 from verse 32. You are the pillar that holds my life. You are the pillar, you are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, Master Jesus, you are that holds my life. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. You are the pillar, my life. You are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. May the Lord strengthen your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that is strengthening, that is threatening your life, may your God fight it in Jesus' name. Anything that is fighting your finances, may your God fight it in Jesus' name. May God trouble your troublers in Jesus' name. May God fight your fighters in Jesus' name. Any disease, any sickness in your body, I cast it out now in the name of Jesus. Be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, sweet Spirit of the living God. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or of houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So there were people who were actually selling houses and coming to bring the money from the houses they sold to God and to the church. Some were actually selling land and bringing it as an offering. Hallelujah. And it was acceptable. Now, let's jump to chapter 5 from verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came to all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Hallelujah. Here's another scary one. This guy has, I mean, imagine wisdom. He has land and he goes to sell it. That already is big. Then he talks to his wife and he said, out of the money that we have sold the land, let us keep some to ourselves. And then a portion, let's go and give it as an offering. And the spirit with which they came with was that this is the money that we made from our land. We are giving it to you. Can't they have kept some? Do you understand? God immediately rejected it. Immediately. And Peter said, you have not lied to a man, but you have lied to the Holy Ghost. In other words, you have lied to God. Amen. And his offering was rejected. Because some people, when they bring tithes and offerings, they bring 5%. Amen. They bring 2%. They bring 9.5%. Yes. Rather don't bring any percent. Bring 0%. Amen. Than to lie. Peter said to this gentleman, the thing was yours. If you wanted to give a certain portion, come and say that my faith only allows me to give half. Don't come and say that this is the money I made. I'm giving it all as if you are giving everything, but you are lying. And so God rejected such an offering. Hallelujah. I feel you don't like what I'm preaching, but I'm preaching like a house on fire. I'm preaching like a dog chasing a cat. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10. Reading from verse 5. Are you there? The Bible says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Verse 8. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. In other words, God didn't want those offerings. Amen. Neither has pleasure therein. They were not pleasing him. Listen to what he says. Which are offered by the law.
So God was not happy with offerings, neither did he have pleasure in offerings that are offered by the law. Now, if you remember when I was teaching about the origins of tithes, you see, the law was a situation where it is by force. You have no choice in the matter. So God does not enjoy, neither does he want any tithe or offering that you feel like you are forced to give. He rejects it. And that's why sometimes when you give to God, you don't see the power of God. Because let me tell you, in the book of Malachi, God says, prove me, test me, whether I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. So you come, you give your tithes to church, you come, you give your offerings to church, and no heavens are opening. You should ask yourself, what's going on? The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. You thought it would end there. It says, press down. Then it says, shaken together. Then it says, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? But you've been giving, but there's no good measure. There's no pressing down. There's no running over. Perhaps some of your giving has been rejected because of how you are bringing it to God. You feel forced. You are lying. You are bringing the sick. You are not bringing the best to God. Amen. You are giving out of the flesh. You are not giving under the inspiration of the Spirit. You are not giving because you are in love with God. You are not giving because you just want to bless your God. He said, if I be a father, where is my honor? In other words, offering is a way that we honor him. Where's my honor? So as you are bringing your offering, you are not honoring. Amen. And so also he will not stand up to open the windows of heaven for you. Amen. Am I preaching somebody? Amen. Oh God, help me to preach. Now, my message is going to be in three sections, but it's going to be very fast. So the first section was just to show you that God doesn't accept anything we bring. Do you understand? I hope from today, every time you bring an offering to church, really examine your heart, your motives, and your intentions, because God is checking. I told you that when we started seeing God moving supernaturally from our giving between my wife and I, was when we decided that, look, sister, it's time that we are going to give. And this time we are going to give and just give from our hearts. Without expecting anybody to do anything for us, just from the depths of our hearts. So we started giving, and when we would give, we would write a scripture and give people, and we'll just put a scripture. And I forgot the scripture we wrote, but it was like, this is not from man, it's coming from God. God is blessing you. And we're just giving like that, just like that. We started seeing things happening. Somebody said things began to happen. Now the second part of my message, and I promise you I'll be very short. I want to show you some other offerings that God will reject hands down. Are you understanding me? Acts chapter 1 verse 18. Acts chapter 1 verse 18. Can we move a little bit quicker now, because I'm worried about time. Acts chapter 1 verse 18. Are we there? The Bible says, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. It's talking about Judas. Now, if you remember Judas, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He had been walking with the Lord Jesus for 3 years straight. He saw Jesus healing the sick. He saw Jesus walking on water. He saw Jesus raising the dead. There was one time, Sandile, for about 3 days, Jesus sat on a mountain. For 3 days straight, he was healing people, casting out demons for 3 days straight. And the Bible says everybody who came was healed. Nobody came to Jesus and went back the same. It's impossible. Tell anybody it's impossible. It's impossible. It cannot happen. That I come to Jesus and I go back the way I came. And Judas was there watching him. One day there was a fish, a small fish and 5 loaves of bread. And Jesus took it and blessed it. And he told his disciples, okay, give. And the Bible says there were 5,000 men. Amen. They started giving. When they looked back, there was another fish. Hey, and they gave. There was another fish. And they kept giving. 5,000 men were fed that day. When they finished, they realized that there's still fish. Even after feeding 5,000, there was still fish. And they came back with 12 baskets full. After feeding 5,000. And Judas was there watching. Amen. Then one day Jesus comes and says, my friend, soon I'm going to die. They're going to come for me. And they're going to kill me. I'm sure Judas, when he was watching, he was planning how we are going to be wealthy through this man. This man who is raising the dead. This man who is casting out demons. This man who is healing the sick. Now he's saying he's going to die. You are spoiling my plans. So Judas said, I need to start preparing plan B. Someone say plan B. And he went to Jesus' enemies. And he said, I know you want him. I can help you. May God kill anyone who's conspiring after your life. May he die dead. May she die dead in the name of Jesus Christ. Lado apantele dondiandos. Resha paladere kabolos. Resandula baraba shandere bashandaraba. He says, I killeth and I make it alive. Moladosa malangala dasya. So Judas went to the enemies and he conspired for 30 pieces, I think it was of silver or whatever. When I went and researched, it was about 300 rand in today's money. Amen. That he sold Jesus for 300 rand plus minus. Sonia, 300. Are you not afraid to sell out somebody who's raising the dead? Amen. For 300 rand, noha. Judas. So he went and bought land with that 300 rand. And Peter says he bought land with the rewards of iniquity. In other words, the way he got his income was through iniquity. Anything that you get through evil, God will reject it hands down. Hands down. Now let me show you about 4 of them. Rewards of iniquity. Number 1. Don't worry, I'm checking time, okay? We'll finish now. Any income that you make out of iniquity, iniquity is evil or wrongdoings, or products of iniquity, God will reject. For example, you can't go and sell your body.
Monday you go sell your body. Tuesday you go sell your body. Wednesday you go sell your body. All the way till Saturday. Then Sunday you come to church and say, oh pastor, I've brought the offerings. Oh pastor, I've brought the tithe. Evil money, evil rewards of iniquity. Your amens are not blessing me. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 29. Quickly. Leviticus chapter 19 from verse 29. The Bible says, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. So that work of prostitution, it is corrupting the land. And you are bringing money you have made from things that are destroying the land, destroying lives, and you are bringing it to God. Foolishness. Deuteronomy 23 verse 18. Pastor, if you preach like this, will anyone ever give in your church? All right. It's the word of God. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 18. All right, I'm moving fast. I will not wait for you anymore. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So any types of income that is made through iniquity, God rejects it. Any products that you sell. You sell alcohol that destroys people's lives. You sell drugs that destroys people's lives. Those types of incomes are an abomination to God. You can't come and bring it as an offering. It's evil. You should be even ashamed to even think to bring it to the church. Tell your neighbor, say it's evil. One day, a certain pastor was preaching in Nigeria. And he preached a very powerful message. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away any sin. Though your sins are red as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. And he was preaching like a house of fire. On fire. Then after the church, after the crusade, while the pastor was standing around, a gentleman came to him and said, pastor, can I please talk to you? And the pastor said, no problem. And he said, can you please come with me to my house? Now it was already evening at night. And the Holy Spirit suddenly spoke to the pastor and said, go with him. So he started following him. And he took him to a mansion. Do you know what's a mansion? Your dream house. I hope that you dream of a proper house, okay? Your dream house. And so they went into the house, and the man said, pastor, every story I say is a true story. Sometimes my story is so that you may not believe it's true. And the man said, pastor, I heard you preaching. He said, the blood of Jesus can wash away any sin. And he went and he pulled a big curtain in his house. And there was alcohol, the strong stuff, Russian what, and the vodka. Hey! And he pulled it out like that. And he said, pastor, do you see all of this? I sell it to the people. I'm a sinner. After knowing that I've been doing this, can the blood of Jesus wash my sins? Then the pastor said, this is a simple question. the blood of Jesus can wash away all sins. And I said, okay, Pastor, thank you. Then he went and he pulled a gun. And he said, Pastor, do you see this gun? It has killed 5 people. 3 of them were killed by me. He said, can the blood of Jesus wash away my sins? And the pastor said, this is an easy question you're asking me. What shall wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. It can wash your sins. And the man said, okay, thank you, Pastor. And then he opened another curtains and there were drugs. And he said, Pastor, every now and then women will come to my door with children crying, saying, please stop selling these things. Our husbands are being destroyed. Our children are being destroyed. Please stop selling these things. And he said, Pastor, do you know what I would do? I'll take my foot and kick them out and close the door. He said, can the blood of Jesus wash the sins of a man like me? And the pastor said, the blood of Jesus can wash away all sins. Hallelujah. And to cut the long story short, the man got born again. But now some people are still selling the drugs. They are still selling the alcohol. They are still killing people. And they even have the boldness to bring the profits of their evil doings to the house of God as an offering. What rubbish. What nonsense. I was talking to another gentleman some years ago, and he was explaining to me and my wife, we had visited, the business that he used to do. And it says that he used to sell drugs. And then he will come, now that he's got the money, and say, Pastor, let's go. And they'll go with the pastor and go to a garage where they sell cars and say, Pastor, choose the one that you like. Helen, from drug money, God will reject. Hallelujah. Oh, my time is not going to allow me to finish. Help me, Lord Jesus. Number 2. Income or money that is made from wickedness, God will reject it. Money that is made from wickedness, God will reject it. Proverbs chapter 1 from verse 11. Proverbs chapter 1 from verse 11. Are you there? The Bible says, if they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. There are people who make money from armed robbery. People who make money from killing. Assassins. I think in Kabi, is it correct? Yeah, there are people who, that's their, when they're saying I'm going to work, they are going to kill someone. There are also people who make money through, you know, witchcraft. Give a loy. They make money from bloy. Any such proceeds, any such income, any such profits, any such earnings are wicked and they are evil and they are abomination to God and he can never accept them. Also, some of you, you are the girlfriend of Mangoba. And Mangoba is the biggest gangster. And you are sitting in the front seat, smiling with their lipstick. And they're with their, what do you call those? Eyelashes, the long ones. And you are walking. That time, you are the girlfriend of the wildest criminal in town. You should be ashamed. Please say amen. I'm preaching the word of God. And then you take the money that your boyfriend gives you, who's killing people, who's robbing people, who's going into people's houses and robbing them, and comes and gives you money. Then you come to church. What song do we sing when we bring our offering? And you come dancing to church and say, oh, Basalam, your mouth. Should be ashamed. Worse to even bring it to the house of God. You don't respect the house of God. Am I preaching? Proverbs 15 verse 8. Proverbs 15 verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked. There are people who don't have a heart. You know, I can't imagine what it is to kill, to end a life. End a life. There are people who can end lives like the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you are better off being the poorest than to join these types of people. Some years ago, in the church where I was raised, where I grew up, we were having a service. There's a lot of young guys there that I used to raise, train, teach, pray for them, speak in tongues, take them, let's go for outreach, have all night prayers. And one of them went into university. I still remember he was accepted to study electrical engineering. Isn't that like a bright future? And we were happy for him, and his parents were also happy for him. And so one day we were in church, he had left to go to school, and we were in church, and he came to church one day. When we went outside, we saw a black shiny car, beautiful. It was an Audi A4, and where we were, and also in those days, that car was wow. Someone say wow. Shiny, beautiful car. German, machine. And I remember, you know, we were having another service in town. And I remember he said, no, Pastor, don't worry. I'll take some of the people and we'll go together. And even my wife was sitting in that car. But that time, I mean, we were not together. And we drove and we came back. And everybody was impressed. Wow. Then one day, I was minding my own business. And I got a phone call. Those days, they used to call me Brother X. And they said, Brother X, have you heard? And I said, heard what? Apparently, this nice brother with a black shiny car. He was an armed robber. had become an armed robber. And he had joined a group here in Mamelodi. And they went to Limpopo. And they did a heist. They hijacked the trucks that carry money with machine guns. Not those guns. Pa, pa. Those ones that... Grr, grr. Jesus. I couldn't believe. And the guy who called me, I said, no, it's not possible. It can't be possible. He said, let me send you a picture. And do you know how police, when they've arrested you, they put you down. And I saw that I know this guy. As I speak to you, he's in jail now. Please, never be even tempted. Don't be tempted. Rather remain, rather eat bread without margarine, without jam, without, and just eat it with water. It's fine. You are better than an armed robber. You are better than to be enjoying life with the proceeds of iniquity. Amen. And you think that you are going to bring it to the house of God. Amen. It's just that time will not allow me. Am I still talking to somebody? Amen. Let me give you maybe the last one. Any income that is made from stealing, from cheating, from fraud, and from corruption, God cannot accept such. Monies that are made from cheating, stealing, fraud, and corruption, God cannot accept such. Are you listening to me? Yeah. I was telling them yesterday morning that one of my friends suddenly came into money. Big monies. To the point that he bought a double-story house in the suburbs. The other day I went to visit him, and to get to his house, I had to pass 3 gates. Just to give you an idea of the type of money we are talking about. And when I walked in, I was blown away. Every time I tell the story to another friend of mine, he always laughs at me. Because my mind was blown. When I walked into his house, I've never seen a TV that big in my life. In my life, I haven't seen a TV that big. And as I was walking in, then I saw another TV. So now I said, there's another TV. He said, no, this one is for the children. I said, wow. And he said, let me take you on a tour of my house. And we started walking and we went upstairs. And he said, you see this upstairs, the floor upstairs, there is floor heating. And he said, my friend, in winter you can walk barefoot. In winter, you don't need shoes because we heat up the floors. And as we went into his children's rooms, I mean, each room had their own toilet and bathroom. And he showed me a room. This is a guest house. And he said, my friend, when you come visit me next time, you can sleep here. I said, wow. And he went to ask his wife, and I said, can I also show him our bedroom? And then the wife was a bit shy and said, okay, but fine. And I went inside and I said, my God, my God. They've got his and hers showers. You know, when you go bath, you have to wait for the next person to finish. There they don't have such business. They go same time. That has their own shower, have their own shower, have their own basin, have their own basin. I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He keeps on doing great things. Then as I was sitting there, my eye kept on going into the garage. And I saw 2 cars. And I said, how many cars do you have? He said, no, we have 2. I said, you bought 2 cars at the same time? He said, yes. I said, God, my God. But when I found out how the money came about, I remember one of my friends, he said to me, this guy has spoken to me. He said he's going to give us some money. I said, my friend, no, thank you. I'm okay. My heart cannot accept. He said, my friend, but you need to build the church. Aren't you building? I said, I'm building. But it doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right. Any money that is, you can't really trace. No, thank you. I'm okay. I'd rather, if my car breaks down, I'll walk to church. I'm going to trek to church. I've been walking for many years. There's nothing wrong if I continue walking. Say amen properly. I can't hear you, please. Hallelujah. So, I'm not just preaching this, you know, just to say, hey, some people. Many of the people in my church are young people. You may be tempted one day. Don't even think about it. Do it straight. Do it properly. Nothing wishy-washy. Do it the proper way. Even if it takes you 10 years longer, it's fine. But you know that every income, it doesn't have blood in it. You didn't cheat anyone. You didn't steal from everyone. Everything is clean. It's better. It's better. There's more honor in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. Did I give you scriptures on these ones? Let me give you Jeremiah 22 verse 13. Jeremiah 22 verse 13. The Bible says, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness. Building his house by unrighteousness. Money that is made from cheating, from stealing, from killing. You are busy building your house. The Bible says, woe unto you. And his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. Then again, there are some people who make money. Mamrudi, they make money. And yeah, their business is proper. They're not robbing, they're not cheating, is proper. But the way they treat their staff, they can just decide not to pay people. No, this month, Bazalwane, this month, that time the pocket is almost breaking the pants. He will not pay people. Or you're supposed to pay somebody 7,000 rand and pays them 5,000 rand. And from the money that's supposed to go to their workers, they are busy beautifying their lives by cheating people, robbing people, stealing from people, maltreating people, abusing people. There are some people, when you work for them, they will make you even less than a dog. Because also they know that you need the income. Hey, Kijima man! Why are you talking? This is somebody's father. This is somebody's uncle. This is somebody's wife. This is somebody's husband. You are treating like you are talking to a dog. So when you bring such things to God, God's first reaction is to reject it. Are you listening to me? Am I preaching to somebody? All right. Because of time, when you get home, read also Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. Leviticus 19, verse 13. And then also read Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14 to 15. Deuteronomy 24, verse 14 to 15. Hallelujah. Okay, I don't want to leave this message unfinished.
So I'm just going to read the last things. I'm not going to preach it. Hallelujah. I told you it's in three parts. Part one, God can reject some things, isn't it? Part two is I'm showing some of them, you know, things that God will blatantly reject. Do you understand? And part three, I want to show you the dangers of the consequences of earning money this way. Okay, number one, we've already spoken about it. God will reject it. All right? Number two, this money comes with sorrows. Remember, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord is without sorrow. But money that is made this way, it comes with many problems. The other guy that I spoke to who was a drug dealer, he said to me, Pastor, when you're in such a business, you don't have peace. Every time you hear, woo! It's like sorrow. People are always trying to kill you. People are always, you can't live and enjoy your life. When you get home, read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Number three, this type of money brings a curse. When you make money in this way, you are cursing your life. You are cursing your children. It brings a curse. Hallelujah. When you get home, read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Proverbs 3:33 and Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Do you write those scriptures? Number four. The rewards of iniquity abort people's inheritance. In other words, if you make money this way, you are aborting your divine inheritance. What God has planned to do for you, you will lose it if you choose to make money in this manner. Adam and Eve, God had given them everything. Then a snake came and said, no, just eat from this tree. Without them knowing, there was a transfer. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that Satan showed Jesus the kingdoms of this world. And he said that, if you bow down and worship me, I will give them to you, because these were given unto me. Who gave him? It was Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. When you get home, read Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. Luke 4, verse 5 to 7. Number five, making money in an evil way will bring tragedy and sudden death. It means that when you make money in an evil way, you will die young. You will die before your time. You are cutting your life short. I understanding what I'm saying. Yeah. Many people who are in the criminal life, they die young. They don't make it to old age. The only time they make it to old age is in jail. But generally, they die young. Are you listening to me? Just not long ago here in Mamelodi, we were heard, there's Boko Haram, there's John Wicks, they're shooting each other. Every week there was a new body that was found. They die young. It's not a sustainable life. It's not a life that will take you to old age. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. Who wants to live long? You want to live long? All right. Avoid evil money. Hallelujah. And then the last one, the rewards of iniquity is the doorway to an eternity in hell. In other words, they lead you directly to hell. Direct. The minute you die, hell.
if you choose to make a living in this manner. Hallelujah. All right, so for as much as giving is good, for as much as tithing is good, and we're encouraging it, it has to be done the right way. God doesn't just accept anything. It must come from a good heart, and it must be acquired in the right manner. Am I talking to somebody? Let's all rise to our feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. I want you to begin talking to the Lord. Some of you here are parents. Start praying for your children. Many years ago, I went to preach at a school. And when I finished preaching, I was led by the Lord to pray for all the children that were there. And I began laying my hands. And when I laid my hand on one particular boy, the Lord said to me, if this boy doesn't change his friends immediately, he will die young. My heart was broken. Because some people, the people around them will entice them into this type of life. Are you listening to me, somebody? Begin to pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your families. Pray for this community, Naumapias. Our children will not be enticed. They will not make a living through evil ways. Oh, somebody, pray from the depths of your heart. Pray for yourself that God will touch your heart. So when it comes to giving to Him, you will do it the right way, from the right heart, with the right attitude, so that your offerings, so that your tithes will be acceptable unto God, so that He can open the windows of heaven, so that the scriptures can become alive and start operating in your life. Pray, pray, pray. Open your mouth, talk to your God. Male karashiados. My Father, I pray for all of us. Have mercy on us. Forgive us for every offering that we brought before you, that when you saw it, you saw evil. When you saw it, you saw abomination because of the heart. Some of us, oh God, have felt like giving to you is heaviness. We have felt like it is not nice. Please have mercy on us. Forgive us. So that when we come and bring our tithes, we bring our offerings, we come with the mind and the heart to honor our God. Our God who is a great God. Our God who loved us so much that He brought His only begotten Son to come and die for us, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. The God who took men like us, sinful men and women like us, and called us His children, and called us His sons and daughters. Oh Father, let our hearts be ready to worship You. Let our hearts be ready to honor You. Let our hearts be ready to love You with everything that we have. Oh God, we intercede for our children. We intercede for the community that we live in, Jehovah. In the mighty name of Jesus, we decree and declare that our children will not be enticed to join evil groups and bad groups. When our children start working and become businessmen and businesswomen, Lord, we pray and intercede for them that, Father, they will not be tempted to start giving brown envelopes, to start cheating their way to the top, to start stealing their way to the top. But we pray that You will walk with them from a young age, that, Lord, Your Spirit will be with them from a young age, that, Father, when they are tempted to do wrong, the Holy Ghost will block them. My King, we cannot follow them everywhere, but Your word tells us
that you are omniscient. David said, where can I hide from the Spirit of God? May our children never be able to hide from
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.